We turn to number 2 in our gospel hymn sheets. Come to Jesus, gently calling, ye with care and toil oppressed, with your guilt, howe'er appalling, come, and I will give you rest. Number 2. Come
to Jesus, gently calling,
also sing number 44 at the back of the hymn sheet, Into a Tent Where a Gypsy Boy Lay, Dying Alone at the Close of the Day. And this mess, and the chorus says this: tell it again, salvation story, repeat o'er and o'er, till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Let's sing this one. Into a tent
where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. To the salvation we carried, said he, nobody ever has told it to me. Story.
To John's Gospel, chapter 7, and that well-known verse 37. One of the most incredible verses in the whole of the Word of God. And know that the most incredible verse of all is John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe this verse that we're going to read right now, John 7:37, is just as incredible as John 3:16. Because I believe that in this verse, we have a very, very how would I call it? There's a terrible urgency to this verse. A terrible urgency to this verse. You know what it says here? In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." And so here they were. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was the last feast of the year. And they were having a good time. It wasn't carried on the way it was instituted in Leviticus 23. They were just having a feast of the Jews. And the Lord comes by and he preaches this word, this verse. That last day, that great day of the feast. And I'm thinking that today, here we are, 2009. And this world has been going on now, the day of grace, for over 2,000 years. And it's going to come to an end one day. The Lord Jesus is coming. His coming is as sure as the dawn. And really, I'm waiting for that moment. That wonderful moment that is soon to come upon us. When the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and take us all home to be with Him. But you know, it says here, that last day, that great day of the feast. And I want to treat this gospel meeting tonight as being the last gospel. And it could be the last gospel. The last gospel. You might never hear it again. You know, if you're lost and in your sins, if the Lord was to come tonight, you would never have another chance. I went to a hospital a little while ago and visited a friend. And I gave him a couple of gospel tracts to read. And I went home, and the Lord, I believe, spoke to me that night. And I felt that I needed to go back again because there was a terrible urgency for him to hear the precious gospel. But you know, when I got to his room, it was too late. He was in a coma. But you know, dear friends, tonight, if you're still lost, it's not too late yet. It's not too late yet. You can come tonight. You can come because the Lord Jesus, he's saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He delights to save. He wants to save. And so the Lord was standing that day, and he was shouting to that crowd, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And you see, coming to him, it's a person. It's not coming to a conference, it's not coming to a church, it's not coming to anything else. It's coming to a person. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one Savior for this world. One Savior for this world. The Lord Jesus Christ. That blessed one, God's beloved Son, who hung upon Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. Man could put the Lord Jesus up in that cross, but the very spear that pierced his side drew forth the blood to save. And I say this tonight, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm here tonight because my Savior shed his precious blood to wash away all my sins. And I am saved, and I am on my way to heaven. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that tonight? Oh, I trust that you can. He's a wonderful Savior. He delights to save. And I say to you, dear young people, if there's one here, one young person that's still not saved, you know you're missing something wonderful. You are. You're missing something wonderful to know that Christ is my Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven. Can you be able to say that tonight? If you know him personally, you'll be able to say that. And that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Can't you just see him there that day? And that crowd, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And you know, there's so many people that today are thirsty, longing for some satisfaction, something in this world. The Lord has given me the ministry in downtown Skid Row, Vancouver, where I've been down, quite often down there. And I see all these folks, and they're looking for something that would satisfy their soul, some little piece that they pick up off the street. You know what it is. And it doesn't satisfy them. It's only for just a few hours, and then down again. I want to turn to the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to look at a man there. His name is Zedekiah. And let's look at the history of this man. So let's turn, first of all, to Jeremiah 52. Jeremiah 52. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the fourth month, and in the 9th day of the month, the famine was sore in the city. So there was no bread for the people of the land. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled and went forth out of a city by night, by the way of the gate, between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after King and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him up into the king of Babylon to Ribla in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also the princes of Judah in Ribla. And he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him with chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. Now I want you to turn just over one page. Lamentations of Jeremiah. One page and one verse. The very first verse. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces. How has she become a tributary? When I look at that verse in the first chapter of Lamentations, it's just as if, I like to put it this way, as if God is opening the doors for us to just take a peek at what it will be like after the Lord comes. Here, the city of Jerusalem had been besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar's army had surrounded that city and burned with fire the city of Jerusalem. And then when we come to the first chapter of Lamentations, well, what do we find? How did the city sit solitary that was once full of people? You know what will happen after the Lord comes? This world will be decimated of its population. It'll be a solemn thing for this world after the Lord comes. And oh, dear one tonight, we don't want you to be there, and that's why the gospel is going forth tonight. We don't want you to be there. What a solemn thing it is going to be after the Lord comes. But yet, God in his long-suffering mercy, lingering over this world, not willing that any should perish. And so the gospel goes out again. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What think ye of Christ? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? That is the question that you must answer for your own self. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What are you going to do about him? Are you going to accept him as your Savior? Or are you going to reject him? Are you going to go out of this room tonight still a lost sinner? You could be in this situation after the Lord comes. What a terrible time it will be. Thank God I'm not going to be there. By the sovereign grace of God, he saved my soul. What about you tonight? Here was Zedekiah in chapter 52. What does it say here? The very first verse. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he ascended the throne. And what does it say? He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Zedekiah was not a saved soul. He didn't love the Lord. He didn't want the Lord in his life. And we're going to see some of the things that happened to Zedekiah. Did he have a chance? Did he have a chance? Did God give him a chance? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He had every chance. And so tonight I'm saying this to you. And tonight, you have every chance to be saved tonight. God has allowed you to come and hear the gospel tonight. Yes, He has. A wonderful God, a long-suffering God, giving you every chance to be saved. How wonderful that is. What a wonderful, gracious God. 21 years old, he was a man, and he was responsible. And friend, tonight, you're hearing the gospel once more, and you are responsible for what you hear, because God will hold you responsible for what you hear. I give a tract to a man downtown. The tract was this, torn in half. He threw it on the ground. I said, "Sir, God is going to hold you responsible for that very act." That very act. You read a gospel sign on a billboard. You read it. God is going to hold you responsible for it. God is going to hold you responsible for it. I think of this, too, that many here tonight are children of the saints. How many gospel meetings have you been? And still you've rejected the gospel message. How many? You want to know how many I was in before I came to the Lord Jesus? I'll tell you, it was a lot of gospel meetings. A lot of gospel meetings. But God, in His long-suffering mercy, saved this person. And He's able to save you. Yes, He is. I say this again to you. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You know what Pilate said? I'm going to wash my hands of all this. I'm going to stay neutral. That's what Pilate wanted to do. I'm going to stay neutral. You can't do it. It's impossible. You can't stay neutral in the things of God. It's either accept or reject. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Is there a middle part to that verse? No, there isn't. It's either or. Will you accept him or will you reject him? Here was Zedekiah. He was given every opportunity to come to the Lord. Turn with me to, I've got some here. Jeremiah chapter 36. Yes, I'll just briefly go through Jeremiah 36 here. This is Jehoiakim, not Zedekiah. But Jeremiah was told to write in a book and give it to Jehoiakim. And you know, in this chapter, what did they do? Let's start at verse 20. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elisham, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehoiada. Thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll. Why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come? Oh. I spilled the water all over the place. Anyways, they burnt the roll. Jeremiah sent this message of judgment that was coming upon the nation of Israel. He sent this message. And what did the king do? He burnt it. And you know, many souls today are throwing away the Word of God, not reading the Word of God. You see, here is the precious Word of God. You know, What are you going to do about this precious word? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. In this are words of life. I cannot get up in the morning without reading the Word of God. I cannot go to bed at night without the precious Word of God. Here is words of life. Young man, young girl here tonight, is this your constant companion? Is this your constant companion? But how many there are that have thrown away the precious Word of God like they did here? And it says there they weren't even afraid. They weren't even afraid. You know what? You know what God said to Jeremiah? Never mind, Jeremiah. Write it again. Write it again. Tell it again. You see, that's what we were singing tonight. Tell it again. Tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er till nobody can say, I've never heard it before. How many here tonight have never heard the gospel before? I don't think there's one. But have you accepted it? Have you accepted it? And so, you know, dear ones tonight, Jeremiah to me is an inspiration to my soul. You know? Because you start in the first chapters of Jeremiah, God told him, he says, now I want you to go and tell the nation of Israel. I want you to tell them that judgment is coming. I want you to tell them that. And you know what Jeremiah did? He kept on saying the same thing over and over and over again. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Go to the next chapter, chapter 37. Verse 16. When Jeremiah entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, and Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is, for he said, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that solemn? You know, Zedekiah comes secretly to Jeremiah and he says, is there a message from the Lord for me? You know, there is a message, dear one, tonight, from the Lord to you. It's the precious Word of God that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is the message of the gospel tonight. The message that the Lord Jesus could say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the message of the gospel. Have you accepted it? Zedekiah didn't want everybody to see this. So he took him aside secretly and says, is there a message for me? There is. And that's what I like about Jeremiah. He kept on preaching the same thing. And for 2,000 years, dear ones, the same message has gone out to whosoever will. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The same message. And it won't stop. It won't stop until the Lord comes. No, it won't. Chapter 38. Then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jachal, the son of Shemaliah, and Pashur, the son of Micaiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, and by famine, and by pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given unto the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech you, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war, that remained in the city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of his people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hands, for the king is not he that should do anything against them. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into a dungeon of Malchiah the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. He preached the same message. I say again, the same message is going out to whosoever will. Whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. This is the message tonight. The Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross to make it all possible whereby we might have eternal life, whereby we might be saved. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with him. What a Savior we have. He received sinners. He received me, and he can receive you tonight if you'll only come to him. Oh, he wants you to come to him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But Jeremiah kept on. He kept on the same message. Yes, there is judgment coming on this world. There is, as sure as I stand here. Are you heeding the message? Are you heeding the message? I remember my mother, when I was a young lad, often saying to me, Al, are you listening to me? I'm saying this to you tonight. Are you listening to the Lord Jesus? Are you listening to God? Are you listening to His precious word? There is words of warning to you tonight. Are you going to heed the warning? Because Jeremiah kept on preaching. What did they do? They put him in a dungeon, and it says, and Jeremiah sank in the mire. The sufferings of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He wept for the nation of Israel and their condition. He sank in the mire. You know, I love this. This is beautiful. Jeremiah sank in the mire. And you know, in Psalm 69, what does it say? I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. Oh, to think of what our blessed Lord did for you and I on Calvary's cross. You see, Jeremiah is just a little type of the Lord. So was Joseph. He was a little type of the Lord. In Genesis 37, what does it say of Joseph? They put him in the pit, and there was no water in the pit. What does it say of the Lord? All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Oh, to think of what the Lord Jesus suffered on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine when he became the sin bearer there on Calvary's cross. Think of it. The depth of all thy suffering no heart could e'er conceive. The cup of wrath o'erflowing for us thou didst receive. And oh, of God forsaken. To think of him crying out there on Calvary's cross, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he cry out that? Because of my sins. That he, that blessed, holy, spotless Lamb of God who never sinned, who never even had the thought of a sin, there on that cross in those dark hours, bore my sins, paid the penalty that I deserved. What a Savior. What a Savior. His love for me, His love for you, His love for guilty sinners. He did it all for you. He could say, it is finished. It is finished, yes indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? That's all you need to do is to come to Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. The Lord Jesus, on that cross, what he suffered for you and I. These are just beautiful little types of the Lord. And now look at a little bright spot here. Verse 7 of chapter 38. Now when Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, here he is, a black man, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, and the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into a dungeon, and he is to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and he went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast coats and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast coats and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Isn't this beautiful? Oh, Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, he was so concerned about this dear servant of God. And this dear servant of God, he said, I want you. And they just got old cast coats and rotten rags, and it said they brought Jeremiah out of his dungeon. You know, it says in Psalm 40, what does it say? He lifted me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my going, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That's what he's done for me. Oh, has he done this for you? Do you know this wonderful Savior who died on Calvary's cross for you? This wonderful Savior whose arms are outstretched to you and wants to save you tonight. What about Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian? What do we find about him? Let's turn over to, chapter 39 and verse 16. Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord. Thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because in this beautiful, thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Oh, friend, tonight, have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him personally as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you put your trust in him? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Come to the Lord Jesus tonight. You know you can be saved right in your seat as you're sitting there in your seat. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is the sinner's prayer. Will you come to him tonight? Will you accept Christ as your own personal Savior? Isn't this beautiful to see this? Here was one who identified himself with that man that went down into the pit. And oh, thank God that I have identified myself with the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who went into death for me. He did it all for me on Calvary's cross. What a wonderful Savior. Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God? Isn't it wonderful? Judgment will never fall on the child of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You'll never come under the judgment of God. My sins are all gone. My sins are all gone. How about you? Are your sins washed in the precious blood of Christ? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? And so, how wonderful it is that God in His long-suffering mercy has had this gospel meeting tonight, even though it's been feeble. And He wants you to be saved tonight. He's giving you another opportunity to be saved. Just one more opportunity. What are you going to do with it? What about it tonight, dear young friend, tonight? Can I make this one story that I've told over and over again, that has been graven on my heart so many, many times, that when Brother Reuben and I were in Nigeria and we were told to preach the gospel in the prisons there in Nigeria, and there was a row of 16 prison houses, and each one we preached the gospel to, there would be about 40 men in each prison house. And all you could see was black faces. It was beautiful to see it. And we got to the last prison house, and it was an enclosed affair, cement affair. And when we walked into that and the door clanged behind us, we were in that prison house. You know, it's kind of an eerie feeling when you go into a prison house and the door clangs behind you. Terrible thing to be in prison. Terrible thing to be in prison without Christ. And there are many that are in prison with their sins. And so we came into this last gate there, prison house. And there were 6 men in there. And the text that the Lord gave me was that text that I've repeated many times tonight. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? The most important question that a person can ever answer is that question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And I ask you that question tonight very sincerely. You have to answer it. You can't remain neutral as Pilate did. You have to answer that question. What are you going to do about the Lord Jesus Christ? And there those men heard that question, and it was for the last time. Because we asked, as those men, as we left that building, we asked what those men were all about and what was to happen to them. And they were going to be taken out and executed and shot. What a solemn thing. But you know, the beautiful thing of it is that has been ingrained in my soul ever since that day was that God gave them one more opportunity to be saved. One more opportunity to be saved. And dear friend, tonight He's given you one more opportunity to be saved tonight. Are you going to lay hold of it? Are you going to put your trust in me like Ebed-Melech? How wonderful to be able to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What about, dear friend? I plead with you tonight. Come. 'Tis Jesus gently calling. Ye with care and toil oppressed, with your guilt, however appalling. You know, He can save the very worst. The very worst, and wonderful that the very worst sinner is in with the Lord this very moment. The Apostle Paul. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And let me quote another person, my sister-in-law. She's now with the Lord. And she made this statement about 50 years ago. And she said to me, she said, "Al, if God can save you, there's hope for my son." And God saved me, saved my son. We've been gathered for over 50 years. A wonderful God. It's the grace of God. The grace of God. And if you hadn't known me when I was 20 years old, you would have said, "That is hopeless. That is hopeless." Growing up in a Christian home and hopeless. But by the sovereign grace of God, He saved me. And the very worst one here tonight, He can save you. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Never turn anyone away. He has a perfect record. He's never turned one sinner away that came to Him in faith. Wonderful Savior. And so I ask you, I urge you tonight, come to Jesus, the Savior of sinners. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.